Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Wednesday, November 26, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, as chaos engulfs Ferguson, the establishment media attempts to direct the spirit of the nation into a destructive revolution. Meanwhile, Obamacare is now offering $3,000 in incentives to hire illegals over native-born Americans. All that plus much more up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Just as we were gaining ground and exposing the national epidemic of the excessive use of force by the police and showing that its origins are really coming from the federal government, the establishment has seized on the opportunity in Ferguson, an opportunity of ambiguity in this particular case. There were so many that were clear-cut, yet they've seized on this opportunity to turn our attention from that excessive use of force onto racial division. And so we'd see these stories from InfoWars.com. Ferguson riots and immigration reform are framing the coming civil war around terms of race. And that's not our terms. That is the term of a retired general who went on CNN and said, you know what happens if we can't control them? We're going to invoke the Insurrection Act of 1807, which, of course, would countermand the Posse Comitatus law saying the military cannot intervene. This is where they want to go. This is why they have deliberately provoked the people, both on the streets and in the courts, to reaffirm their concern, their grievances, that the system was against them. At the same time, the rest of the community was lulled into a false sense of security with the promise of National Guard being there to stand things down. The National Guard then was removed, and the angry crowd was allowed to go through and burn the small businesses in that area. This is where we're headed. But this is a national problem. As that general pointed out, we see from CNN, protesters are filling streets across the country as the Ferguson protests are spreading coast to coast. In Atlanta, New York, LA, Minneapolis, Oakland, many different areas, there are people who are taking to the streets, and possibly they will provoke this if they continue to make this about race. We've even seen a state senator in Missouri say, this is our race war. We hadn't had one yet to fix the racial divisions, so this race war is going to fix our racial divisions. It's not going to solve anything. It's going to leave you with even more excessive force on the streets than you've seen before. But now what is all this pushing off of the front page? Of course, it's pushing off Obama's amnesty rulings, his Obama law. And there's a tie there with Obamacare. Now, he made the admission, an amazing admission, as he was being heckled. He says, wait a minute, you're angry with me because I didn't do enough. I changed the law. Think about that for a second. The president says, I changed the law. You understand clearly that the president does not have the constitutional authority to do that. Yet another example, yet another clear confession of why he should be impeached. He said on at least 22 occasions, I'd like to change things for you, but I don't have that power. I'm not a dictator. Now he's saying, I changed the law. And he said he's going to change a lot of other laws as he sees fit to do in these next 2 years. We're going to see a lot of this if the Republicans will not stand up to him. And of course, the Republican leadership is egging him on. They want him to do this because they want the power when they seize government. But look at the implications of this. We see a story from Yahoo News saying that applications for U.S. jobless aid have jumped to 313,000. Now, that is only new unemployment claims. That is not people who have been unemployed for quite some time. They're dropped off of the statistics. These are just the newly unemployed. And as they point out in understatement, they say the increase is likely to raise concerns about the broader health of the job market. No doubt. And guess who is taking the brunt of this? Of course, it is the poor, the working poor, the blue-class workers, those people who supported Obama. Those people are now being stabbed in the back, as we reported before, of the 6 million people that it's eventually going to give amnesty to, at least. And we don't know exactly what that number is. That's according to the 2010 census. We know that wasn't 100% accurate. But if it is only 6 million people at this time that are given amnesty, that is all the jobs that have been created since 2008. But it gets even worse. Look at this article from Washington Times. Obamacare offers firms a $3,000 incentive to hire illegals over native-born workers. Under the president's new amnesty, businesses will have a $3,000 per employee incentive to hire illegal immigrants over native-born workers because of a quirk of Obamacare. Under Obamacare, businesses that hire illegal aliens or people who have been given amnesty and not citizens won't have to pay a penalty for not providing health care coverage. That means that they're going to be $3,000 more attractive than a similar American citizen who they would hire. Now, this loophole has been confirmed by congressional aides. Now, it's not just that loophole. It's not just a $3,000 incentive. There's also an incentive for employers to hire people they don't have to pay Social Security wages on. In other words, illegal aliens working in this country. Now, to give you an idea of what this is, and of course, that 7.62% of their salary that the employer pays in, you will not see on your pay stub. If they're not paying a Social Security contribution, somebody making minimum wage of $7.25 an hour, that would save them $1,000 per employee per year. If you look at the minimum wage in, let's say, Washington State, where it's $9.32, that would save them about $1,400 per employee. So now you're looking at $3,000 to $4,500 incentive to hire somebody who is not an American citizen. That's the way this is working. Now, it's not just the Obamacare issue. It's not just amnesty. It's not just Obama law, where he changes the law arbitrarily as he wishes. Of course, there's the other thing there that Nixon got impeached for, and that is using the IRS against his own political enemies. In some new revelations this week, we see that 2,500 new documents reveal that the White House was getting fed information from the IRS about taxpayers, presumably his political opponents. This is a discovery process. It was revealed to a group, Cause of Action, that has sued for access to the documents. It charges that the IRS and the White House have harassed taxpayers. And in an email from the Justice Department, they actually said they weren't going to be able to meet the timeline to provide the requested information as part of the lawsuit because they found so many documents. It's going to take them an extra 2 weeks to deal with this. This is a massive amount of information, 2,500 documents showing that taxpayer information held by the IRS was being shared with Obama's White House. We also know that Obama is pushing, of course, World War III and secretly, a new trade agreement, which Republicans have signaled they approve of. And that, of course, are there's two of them, actually, the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership. And the Transatlantic Partnership, the New American reports that the globalists who want to push this through secretly, elevating corporations to the level of sovereign states and doing many other things, of course, as we've talked about many times, the globalists are using Putin as a foil to push the U.S.-EU merger. Now, of course, the way this is going to work is that they create free trade zones, as they say. We'll talk about that in just a moment. They want to create free trade zones, and then after they create regional governments, then they start to merge these regional governments. Now, the New American points out that a problem for the choir of people promoting the TTIP is that Putin is on record as favoring Russia's eventual convergence with the EU. And so what this really is a regionalist strategy that's being promoted, as they point out, by Kissinger, by Brzezinski, and by the globalists. But I want to read you one last quote from this article, and this comes from the people who are promoting it. They say that this trade agreement is a big basket of agreed upon rules and regulations that would make the U.S. and much of Europe a free trade zone. You don't get free trade by having a big basket of regulations. What you wind up with is control of your economy by some multinational corporations to their advantage and with a globalist convergence based on those trade agreements. Now, one more thing that's been pushed off the headlines by the Ferguson riots, and that, of course, is Ebola. And what the end game is on that, just as we see with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, we see corporations moving things in their own direction. I believe, and we've pointed out many times, a large part of what is happening with Ebola, and we see the same type of thing with Ebola, a passive stand down in terms of inviting in the disease, just as they invited people to get angry about the abuse from the government and spinning it in a different direction. They want to bring Ebola into this country so they can hammer us with a medical tyranny. Part of that is going to be the vaccines that fall out of this. Merck partners now with a small company, NewLink, to speed up work on an Ebola vaccine. And the way the NPR reports this, they're talking about how it used to be David versus Goliath. Now it's Goliath versus Goliath, because prior to this, the small company Nulink was going up against GlaxoSmithKline. Now Nulink has been purchased by Merck. So now you're going to have two giant pharmaceuticals battling with each other to come up with an Ebola vaccine. They point out that Nulink was funded, of course, by the Canadian government and the U.S. Defense Department. One last thing here, and they say that what it consists of is a vaccine coming from a harmless virus that's been genetically engineered to incorporate little bits of Ebola. Nothing to worry about with that, right? What could possibly go wrong if they genetically engineer that? So they finished the article by saying health officials say an effective vaccine could help to slow the spread of Ebola, but the epidemic will only end through old-fashioned public health measures, identifying and isolating everyone who is infected with the virus. You understand? It's the quarantine. It's controlling the borders. It's what they're not doing because they want the virus to spread so they can force their vaccine on us for profit and, who knows, whatever else they may put into that vaccine, that virus, with their little bits of genetic engineering. Now, stay with us right after the break. We have another special report from John Bowne on what's going on in Ferguson and some background information on that. Stay with us.
The average person's life is filled with unexpected challenges. Unlock the energy it takes to defeat these daily beasts with Super Male or Super Female Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper hormone balance to create superior vitality in males and females. Supercharge and conquer your world at InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials, all the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
Internment resettlement operations, we broke this a couple years ago when it was sent to us by military sources. After that happened, they posted an army.mil kind of, oh, it's no big deal. See, you got a secret document? We'll just put it out. No big deal. Like catching your neighbor walking out with your television and they claim they were taking it to have it repaired or something. Oh, it's no big deal, Bob. Or you catch your neighbor in bed with your wife. Oh, I was just, you know, doing a gynecology exam. They released FM3-39.40. And this document says social security numbers, how to round up the American people. We have articles on InfoWars.com about it where you can see the subsections where more than 20 times it says American citizens, social security numbers, how to process, how to get our biometrics, just like we were citizens of Fallujah, Iraq. It goes through all of it. And first they tried to deny it, then they admitted it.
Get your ass over here. Get your ass from over here. Now!
Who are you with? Where are you from? Are you from Ferguson?
Where are you from?
Are you even from this area?
Where are you from?
He was hired by the police.
I was not hired by the police.
He's hired by the police. Were you hired by the feds by any chance?
We just got news of a state of emergency. This is Executive Order 1414 signed by Governor Nixon. And it says, Governor Nixon of the state of Missouri, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution. And it says, I hereby declare a state of emergency exists in the state of Missouri.
Well, you know, about the gun sales in the area, they've gone up about 300%. Do you think the fact that, you know, people being allowed to have the Second Amendment, is that going to affect the looting in any kind of way, you think?
That's really hard saying. I mean, the looting, I mean, if the people are looting, they're obviously criminals, and obviously, you know, guns fall in the hands of criminals oftentimes anyway, but the legal gun owners, I mean, I suggest the looters and such look out, because this is St. Louis, man. A lot of people are locked and loaded around here.
Well, speaking about Governor Nixon, He was asked by a reporter yesterday during a teleconference, you know, who exactly was in charge of the operation, because he had previously come out and stated during his state of address, his document there, the state of emergency, rather, that the Ferguson, the St. Louis County Police Department would be running the ground operations in Ferguson. But when he was asked by a reporter who's going to be running pretty much the whole shebang, he kind of stuttered and mumbled and didn't really want to answer the question, which I thought was very interesting, because I thought it's pretty cut and dry in the document that he gave out earlier. But when he was asked that specific question, and it's a great question by whoever asked that journalist, he couldn't really answer exactly who's running the ground operations. So I thought that was very curious, and I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
What we've been told, there's a bunch of stuff set up in here, and we'll run up and peek in. Are you able to see anything?
A little bit. Not a whole lot. Oh, I got it.
Okay. What's it look like? Oh, man. You can see all kinds of tables set up. It definitely looks like a command center. Oh, yeah. You can see everything in there. I don't get what our country's coming to, but you can see all this. These guys are they're planning for the worst, and they're the ones causing.
And really, when you think about it, times really haven't changed that much, because now look what we have in Ferguson that's going on right now. Do you think that the establishment is using Ferguson, for example, to further divide the nation, to racially divide the nation?
Of course. It is absolutely no doubt whatsoever that is what the establishment is doing. That's the modus operandi, if you will, of the establishment. It hasn't changed. It continues to do the same thing. The only difference, which is not really different, is that we now have an articulate liar in the color of a colored man. I refuse to call him a black man, who is now the head, okay, or at least the nominal head, the figurehead, if you will, for these ongoing despicable actions that hurt everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. People of all colors in our nation.
You know, a lot of these people are going to go back and... Oh, hold on.
What are they saying right now?
The police just came over the thing. They said anybody in the road is now part of unlawful... Oh, there's gunshots.
What?
People are shooting. People shooting in the parking lot right now. Everyone's
all right,
running.
Well...
There's gunshots everywhere.
All right, well, you guys stay low. All right, guys, we've had gunshots reported on Florissant Street right in front of the police headquarters.
Everyone's screaming and running.
And those are the things that we're fighting for and that we fight for here at InfoWars. And we're not seeing the system come and aid us in those areas. So it looks like some people are jumping on a car now. It looks like somebody's bad. Is that a police? It looks like, is that a police car?
There's no police cars out here in the...
It's a security car. It looks like some protesters have smashed the front windows. Can you hear that going on?
Yeah, people are screaming and now running forward. Nope, more gunshots. Now people are running again. I don't know what's going on, but everybody is running right now, and the cops are hiding behind the car.
Yeah, it looks like... Okay, and now we're seeing something from CNN. There's a security car that has been... the windshields, headlights have been broken out. We can see a shot of the cops now. They're down. They're in a crouched position.
Get your ass down. Hey, pull your head out of your ass. Fat boy, you better get down. You're a big target. You better get your fat ass down. You're a big target. You better get your fat ass down. You know what that is, don't you? Better get down, fat boy. You better get down, fat boy.
Somebody's yelling at a large man, telling him, you better get down, fat boy. I don't know if you guys can hear that going through. Is that coming off your mic, Joe?
Roger that. He's sitting right beside me.
Okay.
Don't go shooting no babies. Don't go shooting no babies, huh?
So pan over to this guy. Let me see. I want to see. He seems to be, he seems like an older gentleman.
Pull that trigger. Pull that trigger. We shooting that.
Oh, he's kind of, it sounds like he was daring the cop to pull that trigger.
Been in business out here 22 years. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
She said she took her boards down to try to trust in the people here, that no one would, you know, rob her store. And as you can see right here, the windows are busted out. And, it's just another business. It's just sad.
Did she witness the looters?
No, she just showed up. She came out here to check to see if anything had happened.
I'm so sorry for her. Can you get her on camera? Is she wanting to talk?
No, she's trying to.
She's assessing the damage, it looks like. And she obviously lives in the area.
Yeah, she does. She said she's been here 22 years.
God.
And she said she purposely brought the boards down because she thought she could, just put her faith in the community that nothing would happen.
Well, as you guys,
I don't know that it was a community that destroyed her building, though. That's the sad thing about it.
Yeah,
and, here's a black lady, a small business person, an entrepreneur who has worked hard to build her business for 22 years. All she'll get back from the insurance company is going to be some compensation for what was damaged and stolen, but she's not going to have her income replaced.
Right.
It looks like the fire department is completely pulled out. They've even left this building to go. I don't know if it's completely out, but it's smoldering. This is right here. We're coming up on the McDonald's. So I guess they've been ordered out of the area completely since they have no way to defend themselves.
As far as a media event and a psyop and to study social engineering and to study anthropology and sociology, the things the globalists scientifically study on record, you can see how Ferguson is a beta test for things much larger. I said 6 years ago that Obama was going to stir up race war in America. I'm on record saying it, let's not exaggerate, probably 3,000 or 4,000 times. I said a couple times a week. You do that, that's at least 300, 400, 500, maybe 1,000 times. I don't know. Conservatively, 500 times. I don't know. You've probably heard me say it so much you're sick of hearing it. Now, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I do study anthropology, social engineering, sociology. And you can clearly see where the system is trying to exacerbate racial, religious, ethnic, sexual differences and play us off against each other while doing it in the name of multiculturalism.
Tell me how great Alex is. Tell me how he's the Jesus Christ of the world.
I ain't never
said that. And tell me how you his boy.
I ain't never said he's Jesus. I ain't never said he's Jesus, bro.
Alex is a racist.
How are you racist?
And so is that other cat you down here with.
How's that man not a racist?
Tell me how he racist.
I ain't for the camera. You know
y'all
what I'm
came
saying?
Over here to me.
There he is. That's the one who called black people.
He ain't called nobody a terrorist.
I never said that.
Yes, you did. You said it today.
Oh, we said
you didn't say that.
That's how you respond to aggression.
People are tired.
I'm tired of it too.
You ain't tired of it.
No.
Alex sent you out here to investigate and label black people terrorists.
As you can see, these are a lot of the buildings that were broken into, looted, because they decided to put their trust into the community. I'm not saying that it was a lot of people that lived here, but that was their expectation, was to trust in the fact that they were going to listen to what the president asked for, what Eric Holder asked for, what the Michael Brown's family asked for, was no violence, no looting, just peaceful protests. And as you can see today, this place looks like a war zone. Everyone's trying to repair, get their businesses back together. People are boarding up the windows. And then here, I'm going to make a right and get in this lane. You can see this auto zone burnt down. This is much resembles the Quick Trip from back in August. Just completely, totally collapsed in now. It's insane. And here you are, the real people, the community who want healing are out here cleaning up the pieces and trying to put it back together.
I'll show you a terrorist.
You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life. For all of recorded history, civilizations around the world praised the health benefits of silver. At InfoWars Life, our mission is to bring you the highest quality, purest, cleanest, effective colloidal silver on the market today for the lowest price available.
You don't have to be a doctor to know. The fall and winter months are the most dangerous time of year in North America when it comes to you and your family's health. InfoWarsLife.com is very excited to announce our biggest run yet of Silver Bullet Colloidal Silver, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Now, InfoWarsLife.com has taken colloidal silver to the next level using a cutting-edge technique that is free of toxic artificial additives. Now more than ever, it's important to stock up on high-quality Silver Bullet from InfoWarsLife.com and to help others during Christmas by teaching them about the powerful benefits of silver. Secure your Silver Bullet today at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
As people were waiting to see what was going to happen after the verdict of the grand jury was released, whether there was going to be looting and rioting, those with OathKeepers.org were on the ground organizing. Twice before, they had seen the governor of Missouri pull out the National Guard troops, pull out the protection, and let people riot. They knew that would happen again, so they began working together, putting a team together, and they were very effective at protecting some local businesses there. We're going to talk to Stuart Rhodes, the founder of Oath Keepers, as well as Sam Andrews, the person who put together the local team there in Ferguson, Missouri. Stuart, I think most of our viewers know about Oath Keepers, but for those who don't, give us a little bit of information about your origin and your mission statement.
What we are is we're both current serving and former military, police, and first responders. And the mission of Oath Keepers is to remind all of us who took the oath, whether we're current serving or retired, of our obligations and duties to defend the Constitution. And a big wake-up call for a lot of folks was the gun confiscation during Hurricane Katrina, the use of emergency to set aside the Bill of Rights and set aside our rights. And we're seeing the same thing right now in Ferguson. You're seeing the government's giving the folks there a false choice. On the one hand, they are, you know, violating the rights of peaceful protesters. Do that back in August. It's also happening again now. But on the other hand, they're not stopping the actual looting. And we saw this back in August, and we saw it the first night here in Ferguson. And we already kind of gotten kind of tipped to the grapevine that they're not going to protect the people. And so we rallied our guys early Monday morning and got the word out for volunteers to go down and guard the buildings, to guard the business owners. And this is the sad thing, is that just like the Korean shop owners back in the Rodney King riots back in the 90s, they were abandoned by the police as well. And here, the Ferguson police and St. Louis police and also the National Guard have simply failed to protect the shop owners. And our team has been able to, over two nights' time, prevent the strip mall that they're guarding, which has a black-owned business, a business owned by a white person, and then two Asian businesses, you know, multicultural. They guarded those four businesses and prevented them from being burned down. And that was the whole point, is for us to lead by example and show the people there is a third way. The third way is you occupy the buildings, you protect your own, you protect the property owners who are vulnerable to arson. You don't leave the streets open to the arsonists, and you protect the people first and foremost. Without doing that, what's the point? What's
exactly
serving if you're not protecting people?
We had an interview last night with a firefighter with many years' experience, a former fire chief, and he pointed out that a lot of these small businesses are going to find that they're not insured for riots, just like they don't. They have exceptions in people's insurance clauses for war. A lot of these people are going to be permanently put out of business, even if they had an insurance policy that's going to pay to rebuild their business. They're going to be without income, without a livelihood for quite a while. And a lot of people don't have that kind of backup plan where they can withstand the amount of time that they're going to be without an income. I want to go to Sam Andrews. You mentioned how you guys got together on the ground and you protected some businesses there, offering them private security. Sam, you were the one who was organizing that locally there in Ferguson. Tell us a little bit about what happened there. I read one account of it. You said that they could not afford to hire private security. They didn't have the means to do it themselves. When you guys offered to volunteer, they had tears in their eyes.
Yes, in fact, I am a local businessman here in St. Louis, and I run a small business, and so it's very difficult to be in a cash flow situation of a small business and have these sort of overwhelming events occur. Mm-hmm. You just don't have the resources to bring in people.
That's right.
And when I approached these people and offered them security, they literally broke down in tears and were like, thank you so much. We need so much help. And I don't understand why Governor Nixon is not helping us And it was quite the emotional reaction. And it was part relief and part joy and part just shock from the tragedy, I think.
Tell us a little bit about what you've seen there from your perspective. We've had some reporters on the ground this week. They were there in August. They were there all week last week awaiting the decision. Of course, they were there as things were being set on fire on Monday night, Tuesday night. I believe they had some contact with some of your guys that basically offered them some backup. But give us your perspective on what's going on there as somebody who's witnessed it.
Well, from the big picture, strategically, the first night, there was a huge mistake made by Governor Nixon. He put a number of resources guarding the wealthier institutions, you know, Clayton City Hall and the Federal Reserve and downtown and businesses, and left the small business person, which is literally the demographic of Ferguson itself, left it to the dogs. I mean, Nixon threw that town into the fire. And with these arsonists running around, they had months to prepare. We had plenty of resources here in the state of Missouri. There was no reason why they shouldn't have had five guardsmen on every block protecting the small businesses. The first time around, if you get caught out, I understand. But this time around, the first night, those guys should have been in place, ready to go at the announcement.
Which makes me and a lot of other people skeptical this isn't something that they've been wanting to happen. They're immediately talking about a race war. We've had a lieutenant general opining about calling in the Insurrection Act. Every single step of this from the very beginning, it seems to me, they have done things to inflame tensions rather than to step them down, concluding with the grand jury, using a grand jury, not having an open trial, and then the way that it was announced, doing it after dark when they had always had the riots begin in the past. It seems to me everything was calculated to get just this type of reaction.
I think you're absolutely right. In fact, Sam, tell them about your encounter with the National Guard the other day.
Well, I had an interesting encounter the other day with the National Guard. You know, we had secured the permission of all the businesses in the two buildings that we had the manpower to help. The owners of the businesses and the owner of the building had all agreed that they wanted us for security. So when we arrived on scene, I liaisoned with a sergeant that was in the National Guard and then walked back to the business, the building owner's son, who was a dentist there. And I was speaking with him about the plan for the evening. And at that point, not 15 minutes after I talked to the sergeant in the guard, the owner of the building, the dentist's mother, called and said, "The National Guard wants to put people on our roof. Should we let them do that?" And I overheard the statement, and he looked at me, and I shook my head, "No, don't do that." And he told his mother, "No, please don't. We have a team here. And we want them on the roof. We don't want the National Guard on the roof." And I just thought it was an amazing coincidence that the moment they realized we were operating in the area, they tried to preempt us and take our position away from us.
And I bet you, Sam, they would have put somebody there. They would have left them there for a while, and then they would have called them, said relocate, and left the building after they had determined that you were not going to be there. I would imagine that's what's going to happen. We've seen over and over again that businesses who, A, depended on law enforcement or the National Guard to protect them, they're the ones now who have lost their businesses. We see that in many cases they relied on their connections with the community. They felt a connection. They put up signs that said they were in support of Michael Brown or whatever. They didn't believe that this would happen to them. They said, "We trust the people in our community." But it wasn't necessarily the people in their community. For the most part, it could have very well been people outside the community. They did not take it upon themselves to protect their own stuff. And that's really what the Second Amendment is about. I think your mere presence there is a deterrent. And that's an important aspect of our rights under the Second Amendment. Having people who are armed and showing that that can stand down something, just as they've talked many years about having a nuclear deterrent or whatever as a deterrent to war. And we don't need to get into that. But I think having the arms there, people seeing that, I think that can stand down violence.
Hey, Sam, did you ever see any National Guard on any roof anywhere in Ferguson?
No, not at all. But last night, buildings 70 yards to the north of us were lit on fire, and buildings to the south of us were lit on fire. But they didn't want to challenge 10 to 20 men with suppressed weapons in a high position. They decided not to light those buildings on fire. I guess you could call it luck. It was just, just that evening, but yeah. I don't think so.
No, it's a deterrent. And you didn't have it didn't require you to take any shots. They just saw that you were capable of protecting yourself, and they stood down, and then they took the targets of opportunity. We saw this happen during the L.A. riots, where the only people who didn't get burned down in neighborhoods were the ones who were there guarding their own stores. In many cases, they were doing it themselves with their own weapons.
We have highly trained people here on yes. this operation, and we have a lot of resources. We have less lethal options. We have we had water and fire extinguishers on the roofs. We were prepared for the arsonists. Mm-hmm. And there isn't any way to approach any of those buildings without being triangulated immediately with lethal force and non-lethal force.
Well, that's the difference, is that you've got, as you pointed out, some trained professionals with experience. Tell us a little bit about, are you still looking for people that could meet up with you and need help? Do you want to put out a call while you've got the phone here as to what you're looking for and where they could meet you?
We're always looking highly skilled people. And on this type of an operation, it's extremely dangerous and volatile situation. And the protesters like to taunt you while you're working. And it takes a very mature individual with a lot of training and a lot of wisdom to have the patience not to engage with people like that.
Yes.
It's not a great thing for a 20-year-old militia member, but somebody in special operations or someone that has years of SWAT training and knows how to act as a professional and knows what the standards are and the use of force laws of the state are can always be useful in those situations.
I'm looking down your skill set and experience that you're looking for in an AmmoLand article, and I always noticed that a lot of these, of course, are people, as you're describing, who had experience in law enforcement and the military. But then, of course, you're also looking for photographers or cameramen. You're also looking for private drone operators to be your eye in the sky. So there might be opportunities for people who don't have military training to join up with Oath Keepers in a supportive role there in this particular situation.
Yes, a skilled cameraman that has ballistic protection and has an array of lithium batteries to run his photography equipment in really cold weather would be extremely useful. We just didn't have that last night or the night before. But if we could find someone that had that ability and that equipment and they had some tactical experience and wouldn't be just another objective to guards sucking up our resources, they would be extremely useful.
Okay, good. Let me give, we're about out of time. Let me give Stuart Rhodes the last word. Stuart, what would you like to tell the audience?
Well, it's certainly important, as Sam said, for this operation, we want only the best training we can possibly get. But what you said earlier is also true. The Korean shop owners in L.A., everybody out there has a responsibility, the duty to prepare to protect their own property and their own neighbors. And we want to see is Americans get trained up and improve the skill set of all Americans. That's why we have our community preparedness teams, a project with the Oath Keepers, to go and train people and perform neighborhood watches and do exactly what we're doing here. It shouldn't take guys from across the country to go secure Ferguson. The people of Ferguson and the folks from Missouri should have it handled. That's what we want to see, is more Americans stepping up and taking responsibility for each other and helping each other. And it's not about threatening lethal force. The guys, they would just put flashlights on them, let them know they were there, and without exception, they decided to go someplace else. So it's a major deterrent, just the presence alone.
Exactly. And that's the way we would like to see the police wisely engage people. And unfortunately, it doesn't always turn out that way. I think people are getting the message. We've seen gun purchases up hundreds of percent in that area. They understand that the government is not going to protect them, that they have to do that themselves. And, of course, they're selling the guns and trying to get people interested in learning how to use them. I think people are going to be very interested in that, and I think that you're going to have a role to play in that in Oath Keepers in that area. I think there's going to be a lot of new gun owners that need some training so that they can use this safely and effectively, and I think I expect to see Oath Keepers involved in that in many ways as well.
Well, one last point is that the right way to do it, it should be stress for the police. This is what we did 3 months ago. The way to do it is to have what you would call a strong point matrix defense. They are on the rooftops, in the shops,
spread out, and then they could have, if they wanted to arrest somebody, they could have their arrest teams inside the shops ready to go, hidden from the arsonists. So flip the paradigm. Instead of you trying to find these arsonists, like a hay in the needle, haystack, you know, needle in the haystack, instead it's the other way around. They don't know where their eyes are on them. They go to try to burn a building, and bam, they get arrested. That's the way to do it right, without violating the rights of peaceful protesters.
Well, and of course, we could, and we have been throughout this week talking about why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? And the mistakes and the continuing mistakes, even after people have pointed that out, standing down the National Guard as they've done before, and now they've done it again, even not protecting the fire department as they were going in to put out a fire. As one of the reporters said to the police chief there, isn't it standard operating procedure that the police would go in and secure these areas and have the backs of the fire department? And he goes, yeah, that's standard procedure, but it didn't, you know. I mean, it's just, it's amazing to see what they're doing there. And again, we have to ask, is this gross incompetence, or is this something where they would like to see a race war evolve because it would suit their purposes? Thank you so much for talking to us, Stuart Rhodes with Oath Keepers, and Sam Andrews, who is the local Oath Keepers there in Ferguson, Missouri. They have been helping people, guarding their businesses, doing it for free, and showing people that that's the right way to just stand down this violence, is to let people know that you're there. Doesn't require a violent confrontation, but our responsibility to protect ourselves is our responsibility. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Adam and Andrews, for what you're doing there. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, welcome. Thank you.
And again, if you don't have the right skills or you can't make it to the area, you can still support that Ferguson security team. They have a donation fund set up. Go to oathkeepers.org, and you'll see the button there where you can help to support that operation, help them to support people in Ferguson. Well, that's it for our news tonight. If you're watching this on YouTube and you're not a subscriber, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're not a subscriber to Prison Planet TV, your donation will allow you to watch the news every weeknight at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. It will also help to support our operation. You can share it with up to 20 of your friends and family. They can watch the news as it's happening and have access to all of Alex Jones's documentaries. Join us weeknights, 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system, or call 1-888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.